The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you so much for choosing to spend a little bit of time with me here today. And this last weekend was our last travel volleyball weekend of the year, and it was also the most painful. We had to drive to Louisville. It's funny because there's all the different ways of saying it. I say Louisville, and then they actually have a sign that they have all over as part of their tourism thing, and it shows all the different ways you can pronounce it. And if you ask different people there, it depends on where you're from and all this other stuff. People from Louisville typically say Louisville, but I know people that live there that say Louisville. So I don't know. And then, you know, the baseball bats, nobody says Louisville Slugger, right? It's a Louisville Slugger. So it's one of those things. It's an interesting city. Because it's really at the crossroads. Like, my wife and I had a discussion about whether Louisville was a southern city. And I said, well, sure, it's a southern city. You know, it's in Kentucky. She's like, yeah, I just think it's the Midwest. But when you get down there, there's a bunch of signs about southern hospitality and southern charm and stuff like that. So they certainly want to play up the southern aspect, and certainly, you know, if you go back to the Civil War, Louisville was in the Confederacy, the state of Kentucky was. But just it's an interesting city, pretty nice if you've not been there. I don't know that there's anything I would go there to see except maybe the Derby someday, although I'd never been to the Derby. It is, that town is about the Derby. That's what they're about. They have University of Louisville there, of course, and guys are pretty good at basketball and football, but they're really about the Derby. I mean, there's statues of horses everywhere and names of horses and Derby Lane and Derby Way and all, you know, I guess if you have an event that is worldwide, one of the biggest events in its type, then I guess your city's probably going to revolve around that, especially if you're a city that size. But it was almost 9 hours each way. When I was in medical school, I used to drive from D.C. I went to Georgetown for medical school in D.C., and I would drive back home to Oklahoma. And back then, I would drive that straight. And it was about 20, 22 hours, something like that. And I literally would drive it straight and just drink a bunch of... Well, back then, I think it was Jolt Cola. I think it was in the pre-Red Bull era. Coffee, Jolt Cola, and then listening to CDs all the way. It's been a while. But yeah, that was a long time ago, and 9 hours now is quite the go. I drove all the way there and drove 5.5 hours back, and then my wife graciously took the wheel for a while. But... you know, it's been a long road. My youngest is not 100% sure if she's going to play next year club volleyball. This is club volleyball. The school seasons are over. But she said if she does play, she's going to play on a regional team, which made me happy because that means that we're at least limited to only going to places like Cedar Falls and Omaha and places like that. There won't be a little... It's just a lot. It's a lot. But, you know, we'll remember these things when I'm too old to do anything else. Remember when we used to take you to Louisville? But it was fun. The girls played really well. My youngest daughter's team won 10 games in a row. So the thing about volleyball is the game is the set of three games. each one of those games within that is called a set. It's like the opposite of like tennis. You would say how many games and that's your set. In volleyball, for whatever reason, it's how many sets and that's your game. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me because a game's a game. Anyway, so they won really 10 sets in a row. So it was like three games where they beat the other team either 2-0 or 2-1. And then they lost a few. And they didn't place very high because once they got into that next echelon. I mean, there were teams there from Detroit and from Alabama and from obviously Indianapolis and Louisville and that whole area, Cincinnati. I don't know. There were two separate venues. I don't know. So my oldest daughter was at the away venue. Not away, but we stayed across the street from the convention center. So my youngest daughter, I was with her at the convention center. My oldest daughter was at the other venue for this, and it was probably 10 minutes away. And my oldest daughter had the morning. My youngest daughter had the afternoons. So it was, man, it was running ragged. But all in all, you know, like I was talking to some of the parents there, when you girls are with volleyball girls, they're with girls whose parents are engaged in their lives deeply. And so that's a nice selection of kids. I mean, you know, parents aren't perfect and kids aren't perfect. But if you're at a volleyball tournament, and especially in Louisville with your daughter, you're engaged in what she's doing. And I think that always leads to better outcomes than parents that aren't engaged. So that was good. And the drive back was a long drive on a Sunday, but what are you going to do? It was fun. I had a good weekend. So one of the things that's happening at St. Anthony's right now, which is very exciting, it doesn't have anything to do with orthopedics, is our cardiologist, Dr. Susie Fogowski, is now doing what they call leadless pacemakers. Now, leadless pacemakers, first of all, Dr. Fogowski's a star. She's fantastic. We're super happy to have her. And she's doing these leadless pacemakers now. And so what that means is that there's no wires. The battery is not separate. So they're just like a little cylinder and they just get implanted in the heart. And it's a very different process to the pacemakers that typically, when you see someone that has a pacemaker, if you've ever seen that, then they'll have a little metal bump on their chest. It's just a bump you can feel, and you can feel the metal, that's the battery, and the battery goes down to the leads. Well, this is all one device, and we don't think anybody in the state other than Iowa City is doing these right now. So it's just a fantastic thing and just representative of how, you know, St. Anthony's is doing things that really are borderline astonishing from the perspective of it being a rural hospital. I mean, you just don't get the sense, you know, if you've been to St. Anthony's, you don't get the sense that you're in a rural hospital. I mean, just the size of it, the equipment that we're able to have, you know, like I said, we have the Mako robot, and everybody knows we've talked about that once or twice. And, you know, of course we have the Da Vinci robot for the general surgeons and the urologists, and they do some pretty advanced stuff using that. And now we're doing leadless pacemakers. So St. Anthony's just continues to do really great work. It's a very exciting thing. I may try to get Dr. Susie on the show here to talk about it, but she's going to be here on KCIM. She's going to be on the Must Know People podcast, which I know most of you who are WHO listeners wouldn't be able to get that by radio, but you can go to the KCIM, the Carroll Broadcasting website, which is, again, let me reiterate, if you're having trouble on the iHeartRadio getting the podcast of this show, if you're interested in listening to this show at a time that is not the time when it's broadcast, the Carroll Broadcasting website has kept up with it better than WHO website has. iHeartRadio, I don't know if they, hello WHO, I don't know if they have people that kind of forget to put it up, but it oftentimes doesn't get uploaded, and I have heard about that a lot. But you can always go to Carol Broadcasting, and so you can look for the Must Know People podcast, and you can listen to Dr. Susie Fogowski talk about the advantages and the exciting situation in doing leadless pacemakers. And I'm very excited for her and very excited for the Carol community and everybody in this surrounding area. And like I said, I'm hearing this second or third hand, but the word is that this is only being done in Iowa City and Carol right now in Iowa. And I can't verify that 100%, but that's what I've been told secondhand. If you tune in to the podcast, the Must Know People podcast, it'll be a little bit, so don't rush off right now. Although you can listen to the other episodes, I'm sure it's a very good podcast. It's mostly, obviously, more local people around here, but there are other people, broadly Iowa interesting people. But I'll give you a signal when that podcast is going to drop on the Carol Broadcasting website. And yeah, leadless pacemakers. You know, I don't know anything about them. It's not up my alley. I don't know how battery changes go. I don't know any of that stuff. But it apparently has a lot of advantages, and it's apparently a super high tech thing that we're doing here, and that's exciting. So, you know, I think that's one of the commitments that's been so great. You know, here at Carol, we were super early doing the Regenitens. We were doing Regenitens very early with respect to how broadly they were being done in the state of Iowa. We were one of the first places to have a Mako robot, and that's just been obviously the anchor of our orthopedics joint program here. It's just, I mean, the results from a Mako knee and hip are significantly, in my hands, my knees do way better, and I don't do hips, but my knees do way better than they did before. And I've given the example that it used to be that I would do what's called a manipulation under anesthesia, and I would do these routinely, maybe not every week, but certainly 5-10% of the patients would have their knee wouldn't bend past 90 degrees at 6 weeks. I think I've done two of those. I've done over 500 knees since I've been here using the Mako, and it's really, honestly, I can just see a significant difference. Every once in a while, I go into the details about it, but I probably did that not too long in the past, so I'll give it a little bit of a rest. You can always go back on Carol Broadcasting and look at the old ones and see if we talk about the Mako, or listen to the old ones, see if we talk about the Mako. But the Mako, again, there's nothing that anybody could argue is a higher technology piece of equipment than the Mako robot. It is the absolute pinnacle of technology for joint replacement. Full stop, end of story. It costs 3 or 4 times more than the other robots, and the reason for that is because it's better. They have some technological patents that, it's the only one with a robotic arm with a saw on the end of that arm. And the reason is because they have the patent on that. And I think that's probably going to be good for them for another 5 to 10 years. So obviously the Da Vinci robot, people have heard about that. And that's the one where the urologists and the general surgeons are able to do a lot more with a lot less invasive stuff. Now we're doing leadless pacemakers, St. Anthony. And of course, St. Anthony has a full cancer center, including the, again, what I was told, I haven't researched it, but was at least a couple of years ago when we got it, was the premier radiation therapy treatment that's available. The machine that we bought was the best one out there. And so they just have this history of, you know, getting, not pat myself on the back, but getting good doctors out here who are interested in doing high-tech stuff. And that's, you know, like I said, Dr. Dirks with the anterior going through the front robotic hip. Not every place that has robotic hips are people doing them anterior and robotic. I don't know what the numbers are, but that is, to me, the pinnacle intersection of technology and techniques, because techniques are different than technology, right? So the technique in the total knee that I use is only, it's very different because of the technology. So it allows me to perform the operation differently. In the total hip, there's the technique of the technology, but then there's the technique of the approach. Where are you going, from the front of the patient or the back of the patient? If I'm getting a hip replacement done, which I hope I don't have to, I mean, if I do, I know a guy who can do a good job for me. If I, or anyone in my family, they haven't so far, but if anyone in my family or I need a total hip replacement anterior through the front with the Mako robot is the way I want it done. And a lot of that is because, first of all, you just recover so much faster. You're just cutting through so much less muscle and stuff. So, I mean, a lot, I don't know if it's most of Dr. Dirks's patients go home the same day, but certainly I think in the 50% area. And you don't have the restrictions. Like if you have a total hip done through the posterior approach, you can't bend your hip past 90 degrees. So that's sort of basically a sitting flat in a chair position. That's 90 degrees. If you go past that, you're at a risk for dislocating. If you do that over the first 3 months in a posterior or a, through the back approach, you do not have that risk with the anterior approach. Not that the anteriors can't dislocate, but they dislocate less often. And the position restrictions are less onerous, if that makes sense. In other words, you know, I mean, imagine, you know, you worry that if you squat down a little past 90, your hip might come out. That can make some things pretty difficult for the first few months. But all those things are obviated by doing the anterior approach with the Mako robot. The shoulder resurfacing that I do is starting to catch on, but we were the first ones doing it in Iowa. I was the first one doing it in Iowa when I got here 10 years ago. And there's a few more. It is catching on. But again, I've talked about this for a long time. If you have a surgeon that is comfortable with a technique and a technology and he's getting good results, it's hard to get them to want to change. You know, there's a lot of reasons where they're like, well, what? You know, especially as a surgeon gets, if you're 5 years before the end of your career, if you're 5 years away from retiring, are you going to totally change the way you're doing a total shoulder? You're probably not, right? So that's one of the barriers to using this particular shoulder resurfacing. And then, of course, we have the new patch, the new rotator cuff patch from Anika Pharmaceuticals that has different applications than the Regeniten. I'm starting to use the Anika patch for bigger tears and the Regeniten just for the partial tears, like what I had on my shoulder, where you just go in, you do it, and you get the patient out of the sling in 2 days. But with the Anika patch, if I'm doing a big tear, one thing I found was with the Regeniten patch, if you do a big tear, sometimes they'll get a little bit stiff because of just the method of the healing that happens. And I think that that's going to be less with the Anika patch just because of the material that it's made of. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have really, there's nothing that I want that I don't have right now here in Carroll for my practice. There's not anything where I can look at what someone else is doing and saying, man, I wish I was able to do that. Because if it comes to that, they get me what I need. We just bought a retractor, which is a clamp basically for fractures, for our bigger fractures, hips and femurs and things of that nature. And this was a very expensive clamp. And I told St. Anthony's, Dr. Dirks and I both, obviously, now that there's two of us, we speak louder. But we told administration, listen, this thing is going to make our lives easier, get us better outcomes, shorten surgical times, all these great things. It's called a linear reduction clamp. And so they bought us a linear reduction clamp. I mean, that's just, I can't say enough about how I feel supported here by the hospital in the endeavor to just give the absolute best care that we possibly can. So leadless pacemakers, I'll be giving you a heads up when that comes out on the podcast. I may get Dr. Susie on here to talk about it. Probably not a terrible idea. And I will, I'll let you know about all that stuff, but real exciting stuff here in St. Anthony's, and the weather's turning good and everything's good. So, and oh goodness, it's Easter today. I forgot because I'm recording. Typically, in the past, I've done a full Easter episode talking about Easter and how important it has been in my life. I just understand that Easter, for me, is that holiday that really brings it all together. And I hope everybody who celebrates Easter has a wonderful Easter. And if you don't, you can celebrate the spirit of Easter, renewal and sacrifice and rebirth and all of that. So you have a wonderful Easter. Have a wonderful week. And I'll be back next week.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.